Hi, I'm Lorraine Besser, author of the new book, The Art of the Interesting, What We Miss in Our Pursuit of the Good Life and How to Cultivate It. I'm a philosophy professor at Middlebury College. I've spent the last decade studying the philosophy and psychology of the good life and working with psychologists to learn what makes our lives go better. The last decade has been an exciting time for our field, and one reason is that we've uncovered a new dimension of the good life that's been neglected for far too long. This is psychological richness, a set of complex, often novel, often challenging experiences that imprint on your mind, that shape your perspective, and that add value to your life because they are interesting. The Art of the Interesting explores how you can harness this research to make your lives more interesting and to start living a good life, even a better one than you thought was possible. Today, I'd like to share with you 5 insights from The Art of the Interesting. Number 1, the good life involves more than we've been told. When you think about the good life, what comes to mind? You probably think about happiness, and you probably think about meaning, achieving, purpose. That's because for centuries, philosophers and psychologists have thought about the good life in terms of a basic dichotomy. It's a matter of happiness, or of some form of meaning, or maybe both. It's true that these are important dimensions of the good life, absolutely. The good life involves happiness, obviously and importantly. Happiness is great. It's the stuff that feels good, in the puppies and cuddles sort of way. It's an essential part of the good life. And the good life involves finding meaning in life, be it through finding purpose, being a good person, or achieving something important. Finding some kind of meaning in life is essential to the good life. It's how we experience fulfillment, how we make sense of our activities, and how we connect our lives to the world around us. Happiness and meaning both are essential dimensions of the good life. But look at how much gets squeezed out when we're stuck in this dichotomy. If it doesn't hit our feel-good channels and it doesn't connect to something bigger and better than our present experience, then it's got no role in the good life. What about roller coaster rides? Watching sad movies with your best friend? What about those random chance encounters that leave you moved and occupy your mind for days? What about the traveling, the adventures, the simple thirst for experience? These things don't fit neatly into the dichotomy of happiness and meaning, but they seem important. They are important. And now, finally, our research is catching up with this. Psychologists have recently affirmed 2 important points. First, that people really do think that these kinds of experiences are important to the good life. Second, that these experiences and the state of psychological richness they generate is its own category and not some kind of happiness or meaning in disguise. Psychological richness is a distinct dimension of the good life. This is seriously the most important advancement we've had in our understanding of the good life in our lifetime, and many more before that. We have literally discovered a new dimension of the good life that's been overlooked for a very long time. Appreciating this is going to shake up how you think about the good life. It just might finally set you on the path you've been looking for. Number 2, psychological richness is an important part of the good life because interesting experiences are valuable. So here's the secret to living a good life, once and for all. You've got to know what you're after. The good life just doesn't happen on its own, and there's all kinds of things that stand in the way of living your best possible life. I don't mean the external stuff, what your life looks like on the outside. Although, of course, it's going to be hard to live a good life if your basic needs are not met. I'm talking about the ways the mind works, its limits, tendencies, and the tricks it plays that set us off track. We adapt to pleasure, which makes sustained happiness difficult, if not impossible, to obtain. We get caught up in the pursuit of meaning, start evaluating everything that comes by us, and honestly just falter to connect with the objective good around us that promises to deliver meaning. We're also just not that good at predicting what will deliver meaning to our lives. All of this means that if we go about the good life by shooting in the dark, going after the things we think we're supposed to without really understanding what we're after, we're bound to fail. If you're serious about living a good life and want to take advantage of the wealth of research we have on it, it's important to know what's at stake in happiness, meaning, and psychological richness, why each is a part of the good life, and what they do for you. When you're armed with this knowledge, you'll be able to leverage all the research, all that we've learned about the good life, and use it to live better lives. Here's what you need to know about psychological richness. It's an important part of the good life because of how it feels inside when you experience it. It's interesting. You know what I'm talking about. You've felt it before. It's that feeling we get when discovering something new, when we let our curiosity run wild, when we push ourselves out of our comfort zones and challenge ourselves. It's why we read books and listen to podcasts. It's what makes for the best conversations. It's why we travel. Psychological richness is part of the good life because it delivers the interesting, the feeling attached to a robust form of cognitive engagement that stimulates new thoughts and emotions, and that leaves us in a different place than where we started. By tapping into the nature of the interesting, you'll learn to appreciate its sparks and let them carry you away. You'll learn the kinds of things that stimulate the interesting, and you'll even learn how you can create the interesting in any moment, in any time. Coming to know the interesting is to develop the capacity to enhance your own life. Knowing what we are after is the key to living a good life. Number three, interesting experiences are up to you. Take a second to pause on the most interesting experience you've had lately. Was it a chance encounter? Was it watching a film or documentary? Was it daydreaming on the subway? Whatever it was, call it to mind. Think about how it made you feel. Think about how it made you think, how it struck a chord somehow. That's the interesting. The interesting describes the feelings of a robust form of cognitive engagement. We create the interesting by stimulating our own minds and by letting them run. It doesn't matter where our minds go, just that they run. There's all kinds of things that stimulate interesting experiences. It really doesn't take much to set our minds on fire. Research shows that psychological richness is correlated with novelty and challenge. This means we can generate psychological richness and have an interesting experience by confronting novelty, even simply by noticing the little changes around us. We can also find the interesting by moving out of our comfort zones and challenging ourselves. Even just a little bit will force the new thoughts and emotions to ripple, and that's what we're looking for. And sometimes, especially if we know what we're after, we can create interesting experiences by bringing some curiosity to our minds, or by being even just a little bit creative. There's an art to this whole thing, but it's one that each of us can learn. And when we do, we'll have the ability to enhance our lives, simply by using our own minds. So much of the good life, and especially our experiences of happiness and meaning, depends on stuff we just can't control. Happiness depends upon our basic physiological responses. Finding meaning or fulfillment depends so much on other people's validation or on the world being a certain way. We can certainly work towards having more happiness and meaning in our lives, but there's a limit. Neither is completely up to us. But the interesting is, and this is huge, it means we can call on the interesting whenever we want, but especially in those times where fulfillment eludes us and happiness passes in the blink of an eye. By harnessing your ability to create the interesting, you'll be able to fill in the gaps inevitably left behind by happiness and meaning. Number four, lighten up the pursuit, open your mind. An open mind makes a great springboard for psychological richness, but too often we close our minds to all that might prompt the interesting. We rush from place to place, barely looking up at all that we pass by. We see what needs to be done and we do it, begrudging anything that throws us off track. We all do this, it's natural. That part of our minds that screams executive function likes to take over. And it's a VP for a reason. Our ability to plan and to narrow our focus on the end goal is crucial to our very survival. But there's more to life than survival, certainly a modern life where there's time to think about living good lives. That planning, rational part of us likes to take charge, but it doesn't have to be in charge. And most of us will live better lives if we just loosen its grip on us. Many aspects of the good life aren't best obtained through making plans, through the active pursuit. It helps to think about and to structure your life in ways that'll help you live a good life. Nourishing your connections, avoiding lengthy commutes, making sure you get time in nature, and so on. But on the day-to-day, we don't make much gains by actively pursuing the good life. If you're lucky, planning day-to-day might help you find meaning. But happiness doesn't work this way, and neither does the interesting. And in fact, the more you're in planning mode, pursuit mode, the more you cut yourself off from the interesting. Think for a second about what happens when you're caught up in a plan, in the pursuit of something. Maybe it's as little as trying to get through the grocery store as quickly as possible, or maybe it's as big as training for an Ironman. When you're in pursuit mode, no matter how lofty a goal you're after, you set up a yardstick from which everything that happens gets evaluated. If it helps the pursuit, good. If it hurts, bad. And if it doesn't impact your pursuit, well, then it's not worth your time. Pursuit mode narrows our focus and closes our minds off to the interesting. If we lighten up on the pursuit and put down the yardstick every once in a while, we'll give our minds the space they need to find the interesting and to have psychologically rich experiences. Do this often, you'll find yourself approaching the world differently, more fully and expansively, ready to take in all its nuances and engage robustly with all that it throws at us. You'll find that your life goes better. Number 5, you can call in the interesting even in the darkest of times. Here's a little logic for you. Psychological richness is distinct from happiness and meaning. So you can have psychological richness and not be happy. And you can have psychological richness and not find meaning in life. The upshot? Even when life is hard, you can still get something out of it. You can find the interesting even in the darkest of times. Life isn't easy, and our research affirms that the good life isn't easy either. Complicated emotions, challenge, and unexpected consequences are breeding grounds of psychological richness. Their existence can make it harder to find happiness and meaning, but it doesn't prevent us from living good lives. When hard times crop up, and it's just inevitable that they will, it can feel like all our shots for a good life have been sunk. And these feelings are often made worse when we're encouraged to put a happy spin on the hard times, or to try to find meaning in them. Surely you felt the burn of toxic positivity searing into your sadness all the while denying its validity, or found yourself staring blankly out as someone tells you to find meaning in your tragedy, while your mind screams, "Are you kidding me?" Using the framework of the interesting helps. It won't transform the hard stuff into good stuff, but it'll help to get you through. It'll help give you some space. The art of the interesting involves taking a non-evaluative perspective on things and just being curious about them. If you master it, you'll have the ability to do this, even in the face of the worst events possible. It'll give you some distance from the pain, and so it will give you a way to engage with the hard stuff that won't lead you straight to the rabbit hole of sadness and sorrow. And it will end up shifting your perspective on the hard stuff, even if ever so slightly. And you know what? When times are so hard that you just want to escape, the art of interesting can make that happen too, in a heartbeat. One of my favorite stories I tell in the book is of Aaron Elster, who, as a young Jewish boy growing up in World War II, spent his childhood alone, hidden in an attic, while the Nazis roamed the streets of his hometown in Poland. Aaron survived to share his stories. When asked what got him through, he answered, "I had the ability to daydream. I used to write novels all day in my head. I was the hero all the time." This kid's got it. This is exactly what the art of the interesting can do for all of us, wherever we are. Start learning now. By mastering the art, you'll live a better life.